Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Praises to your name, Lord, praises to your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we praise your name. You're high and lifted up and magnified, Lord, and we set our affection upon you. Praise God. I'm just wanting to share something that has been downloaded into my spirit this day, and it's still rolling around and working around inside me. But and I have a text. I'm going to share a text, but I want to work my way up to that text because it's almost kind of like, not in a joking way, but in a good way. It's like a punchline. And so I want to keep you on the edge of your seat waiting to hear what this punchline scripture is going to be to what I'm saying. In the book of Ephesians, we see that the Spirit, through His Word, through the vessel that was used to write this book, which is the Apostle Paul, is laying understanding in our hearts regarding holding fast to the church, holding fast to the body of Christ. And several years ago, I even made up a chart called Bodybuilding Scriptures from the book of Ephesians. And you read all about the church there, how Christ is the head of the church, how we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and it's all about the church. And my understanding was, as in the book of Ephesians, we're taught to esteem and hold fast to the church, the body of Christ. So in the book of Colossians, there's a great exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in His headship, and we're to hold fast to the head. And by getting into the book of Colossians, we develop our understanding on holding fast the head. But this morning, the Lord caused me to come into revelation and understanding of something that I've really been having a question about. And first I'll tell you what the question has been and where I have had a little bit of a pause, maybe a difference of opinion. Many have been preaching and teaching that God's doing away with the church. And what's coming is the kingdom, and God's doing away with the church. This hasn't been setting well with me, because I have believed that the church is eternal, and people have different views, and I'll kind of briefly lay out my own, but I'm not going to take the time to defend myself in my beliefs or offer this as an apologetic on my beliefs. But I will tell you that I do believe that there are different degrees, and that the church is the body of Christ universal. The Church of Jesus Christ is comprised of all of the blood-washed saints throughout all the ages, that if you repented of your sins, Jesus came into your heart, then you're part of the church. But to be part of the bride of Christ, or the sons of God, or the overcomers, or the elect, the remnant, that's another level altogether. And if we took each one of those words and we went through the scripture and we broke it down, we could find how they were always ones who pressed in a little further than just their nominal or their beginning, just the basics of their Christian experience. And it doesn't do away with the fact that the church as a whole, the blood-bought church, will be in heaven worshiping God and being a part of all that goes on in heaven, but that there will be those who will be a little bit closer to the throne, and it has to do with being pressed in, being sold out, and taking up the cross, and all those things. So we're not going to go into all of that. But so anyway, it's disturbed me when people say, oh, God is doing away with the church, and in order to bring the kingdom, before the kingdom will really come in fullness, God's going to do away with the church. And I just found that to be so not true. But then today the Lord began to cause my understanding to fall upon something. And what I believe, and I believe they're part right, and I'm part right, and what I believe is, first of all, we've got to understand, when we're talking about a church, we're not talking about a building. We're not talking about an edifice made of brick or stone and mortar. We are, of course, talking about the ecclesia, the called out we're talking about the spiritual building, not the natural. We're talking about the lively stones. And when we look in the book of Ephesians, it's not talking about buildings or edifices. Now, the Bible talks about the building being compacted and fitly joined together. And I had one pastor who used to say, the church is just the joints. The churches, the buildings, are the joints where the members meet. And so praise the Lord for that. But what I want to share is what I believe is the purpose of the church, not apart from the kingdom, but in relationship to the kingdom. And what God is doing is all the stuff that we go through in church, in these places where the members meet, and it can be in a church building, it can be in someone's living room, it can be in a huge stadium. We're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the place wherever the members happen to be meeting. And thank you, Lord, for the places where the members meet. Thank you, God, for people who give to churches so the light bills can be paid, so pastors aren't starving to death, so that they can get Sunday school supplies to teach the children. Thank God for all those things. What the Lord is showing me is that we as the church are called to be executors of the kingdom. And we are the ones who are going to be basically running the kingdom under the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. And what level you attain to in the church, how close you get to the Lord, how much of an overcomer you are, is going to be the level of authority you're going to have in the kingdom. So if you you can be a street sweeper in the kingdom, you can be a store cashier in the kingdom, you can be a doctor or a surgeon or a lawyer, and those may be not the greatest analogies, because of course we're not going to be dealing with lawsuits in heaven, we're not going to be dealing with sickness in heaven, but the kingdom is bigger than the earth and it's bigger than heaven. The kingdom encompasses all. It encompasses all the realms of God. So praise the Lord. Now, what the Lord has been dealing with me and speaking to me and dropped into my spirit about this book of Colossians is how that this book is whereas Ephesians is the church, is the body of Christ, Colossians is the church coming into its relationship with the head and executing the kingdom, being translated into out of the kingdoms of darkness into the kingdom of light. In the church level, we're dealing with levels of spiritual warfare and having to tear down principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness, all these things that come against us. The church is like the proving ground. It's the training ground. It's God's boot camp for the kingdom. And so to dismiss the church and say, well, I don't need to be in church, I don't need to go to church because I'm the kingdom now, I'm of the kingdom, you're missing your preparation for how the Lord is going to use you in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't miss your preparation. Don't miss your hour of preparation and cross over into that day and not have your sword ready to wield in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. And of course, many of us have availed ourselves and are aware of the teachings of people like Lance Wallnau, who teaches about the seven mountains and all these kingdoms of the world that are to be taken by the saints, and where we're going to have authority as we access the Lord's doings and workings to manifest Himself in those areas of the culture, whether it's the media, education, government, and so on and so forth, all those things. But the church is the place, the training ground for the saints who are going to be prepared to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Now, we're getting back to this thing of buildings, because when people say, oh, it's not the church anymore, it's the kingdom, most people are envisioning being confined and constricted to a Sunday morning service where there's three songs and the offering, and then the announcements, the prayer requests, the preaching, the closing song, and maybe there's some praying over the people at the altar, and maybe they're having a revival, so they have an extended altar service, and people are being ministered, and they see, oh, that, you know, we're not going to be doing that anymore, and they want to dismiss all that because now they're part of the kingdom. And as culture evolves, and I hate the word evolves, but anyway, as culture changes and shifts and grows, styles change, ways of doing things change, things that weren't available to us in the 50s and 60s of technology. Church was done different, and now we have church being being realized in a different way, and in some ways it's far more theatrical, because there's such an inroad of theater into our society through media and through entertainment. I mean, the biggest industry in this country is probably the things that come out of Hollywood. And so all of that has infiltrated, affected the church, and we've developed this culture of seeker-friendly churches, and people just think that's terrible, and I have mixed emotions, because I see it again. I see it as, if you go behind the scenes, even in those places of these seeker-friendly churches, you're going to find those who are entertained, those who are willing to follow just because they want to see the miracles, they want to be fed by the loaves and the fishes, but then you're going to find those who are a little bit closer, you know, closer to the heart of God, even within those circles. You'll find those who want to be part of things where there's a drawn closer to the anointing, those that want to be close up to what the places where the Spirit truly is moving. So you got to be careful when you're critical and you're criticizing men of God who have these quote-unquote seeker-friendly churches. The things that you see, the little pieces that you see on TV of their ministry, because a lot of times behind the scenes, there are those who are really gaining something in the way of a feeding that's causing them to press in. So we just have to be careful. But anyway, the thing that really got me, and this is the scripture that I'm building up to, that I believe encapsulates the connection between the church and the kingdom, is going to be a people who are living and walking in this particular verse, and it's found in, it's just such a common verse, you're going to, of course, immediately recognize it, and you most likely can quote it if you're a Bible lover. And I'm just wanting to read it, because even though I can quote it, I just don't want to quote it wrong. It's Colossians 3, and verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, we learned in the book of Ephesians, we're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We learn that in the church, that Jesus is exceeded high, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion. We learn that in Ephesians. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want to talk about that one little word, affection. This word here, I looked it up, and when we hear the word affection, what we immediately think in our English brains is, well, if you have an affection for someone, you have a good feeling, a benevolent feeling, a warm feeling, maybe even in love feelings. But affection speaks of the emotion of acceptance and love and desire and just warmth and on any level. When you say affection, I have a great affection for my kids. I have a great affection for my husband. I have a great affection for my siblings. I have a great affection for my churches. Those warm feelings. And God wants us to have those feelings for things that are above. Set your affection on things above. But do you know what that word really means in this instant? It means to have a harmonious attitude. Let me read it right from the Strong's Concordance. The line that I'm really particularly interested in, it says, to be of the same mind, agree together, cherish the same views, be harmonious. And that's the place the Lord is bringing. The church is to bring us to harmonious agreement with the thoughts and the ways of God. And everything we hold on to of the past that keeps us from it is because we have an affection for those things of the past. You know, I have an affection in me when I see pictures of little white churches on the side of the mountain and the maple tree and the steeple and the little people walking up the front door to go into the little white the little white church. I have an affection for that. Excuse me. There's an affection in my heart for that. It's nostalgic. Nostalgia brings affection. And those affections are good affections. They're not bad affections. And then I have an affection when I think of big tent meetings, because I've been in some of them. I've been in Oral Roberts' meetings in Madison Square Garden. I was in his meetings there, and I have an affection when I envision the scenes from those meetings of the Lord moving and people getting healed. I have an affection for that. I have an affection when I think of going into New York City with my mom and my dad to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting and being there, and Harold Bredesen, a dear precious saint of God who was very much a part of that in the early days, introducing William Branham, this was in the 60s in New York City, and him speaking. I have an affection because I remember the sweet times. I have an affection for a church where I was, churches where I've been, where I've seen the Lord move around the altar and our Assembly of God churches on Long Island where I saw the Lord move. I have all this affection. I remember that when people say, God's going to do away with the church, it's like, whoa, I don't want to hear that, because I have an affection that's been built up in my heart for the landmarks in my faith walk where I saw God move, and I don't want to let go of that. Now, the Bible tells us to crucify the affections and lusts thereof. That's another word altogether. The affections and the lusts, the things of the world, the testimonies of our life before Christ, the places we were, maybe where we got drunk, where we got high, where we did things we shouldn't have done, and people can laugh at those things and think, ah, ha, ha, you know, or the rock and roll days or the hippie days. Or, you know, I even had the experience of being just on the fringes of the Woodstock gathering in New York State. And those things, those are affections that you just need to forget. You need to wipe them away. But I asked the Lord, okay, you say to leave these affections behind, you're talking about set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And I have these affections, you know, these spiritual affections, are they to be left behind? And I believe what the Lord has revealed to me is that all that God has done, all that the Lord has done in placing affection within us for those memorials to His grace and what He did and what He has built into our life, they're not going to be cast aside, but they are going to become useful in the execution of His kingdom. Somehow those things are going to translate into being a blessing in the kingdom of God, because everything we do, taking it to a more appropriate emotional level of the nitty-gritty of where people live. You know that scripture in Corinthians that talks about how we comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted ourselves. And the places where God met us, you know, you may come across a soul that has never stepped foot in a little white country church where the saints were praying around the altar, but you may come across someone who will need the impartation of that experience and need to draw from the well that has been dug in your life when you were one of those people. And your experience may not be that. Maybe where you met God was in a coffee shop, in a Christian coffee shop where young people were just gathering to drink coffee and hang out. Maybe somebody got up to a microphone and played some folk songs on their guitar and sang. And a friend took you into a place like that and you didn't know Jesus and you met Him there. Something happened in your life that you have an affection for that experience, and that affection is going to be used. You're to take that affection and you're to set it on the things above. You're to take that affection in your soul and say, Lord, use this affection that I have to minister something to someone else. The affections you have. This is just a different understanding of this scripture. It's just breaking forth in me. Everything I have an affection for in my life, in the kingdom, when I was translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light, every affection I have for kingdom places in my life. Now, the kingdom supersedes everything of our concepts of God and relationship and even religion. The Lord had been quickening me that I needed to read the Gospels over and over and over again, no matter what I'm reading in the Bible, whatever portion of the scriptures I'm in. Just keep rotating Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and something will be imparted. And you know, when Jesus came, He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Of course, what was at hand? Miracles, healings, deliverance, all those things. The kingdom was before the church, and the kingdom will be after the church, but the element, those who are prepared to really minister the kingdom are those who are submitting themselves to all the processes of God in and through the church. And you're saying, well, she is just getting on the bandwagon to promote the local church. Yes and no. If that's where God has you connected to, His body, His ecclesia, His church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, if that's how God has you connected, then yes, if God has you connected to a prayer group or whatever, in a living room, wherever God has you connected. And to be connected means that there's a sense of fellowship, and there's a sense of accountability. There's a sense of there's someone that has your ear. Someone, and I don't care if you've got the label of bishop, you need to have someone who you're connected to that can speak into your life to be an encouragement and when necessary be a correction. Look at the king of Israel, David. He had to have that point in his life and in his time when he had a prophet come into him, put his finger in his face and say, "Thou art the man." He had to have some accountability, even though he was king. And he did. He held himself accountable to the word of the Lord through Nathan. He brought himself into subjection. He humbled himself. And so, even if you're in the wilderness, even if you're in the desert, even if you feel like an outcast, there is someone more spiritual than you. There's someone more spiritual than me that I need to have an ear to hear. And why is this important? Again, it comes back to the training for when God's kingdom is fully manifested. It's working within us. It's not with observation. It's the dealings of the Lord in our own heart. It's the Lord having throne rights in our lives. It's the Lord bringing us to the place when He speaks, when He deals about the least little things. And it's God. It's that still small voice. It's the wisdom of the Lord. It's providence. It's everything. It's our conscience. It's all coming to bear on that which will press us into being the bride of Christ, who will be on His arm, who will be his princess bride, His queen, whatever terminology you want to use, the bride, the Lamb's wife. She'll be arrayed in glorious, beautiful garments, and she will be executing the kingdom alongside. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All these things, but we got to set our affections. All the things that the Lord has done in our lives, we need to set those things that are harmonious to the kingdom of God, that are in agreement with the kingdom of God. We need to offer them up to the Lord and say, "God, help me to be, have my life hitting You. This is for You, not for me, not for my glory, not to advance me, but this is to advance Your kingdom. Everything I've learned, everything that I feel affectionate towards in my experience is for Your glory, not to build my own kingdom, not to build a monument unto myself. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The Lord alone shall be exalted to that day." Well, I heard a brother say that this will not be a faceless move. And I agree, it won't be a faceless move. But the face we're going to see is Jesus Christ in and through His people. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just looking down at this chapter, and I just want to devour this book again. I just finished reading it, but now that I have more revelation, and I'm seeing this unfolding of Colossians in a new light. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praises to Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing. One thing that's really upset me when people talk about how God's doing away with the church, and of course I have these visions of my mind of good times in church. Now I'm talking about good times inside of a building where saints gather and we're meeting with the people of the Lord, and there's praise and there's worship and choirs and song, and I love that. I don't want to do away with that. I don't want to do away with singing and praising the Lord, praising to the Lord. I don't want to do away with hearing the sound of worship. What are you trying to take from me? What are you saying? You're saying, "Oh, we don't need church anymore. We have the kingdom." Are you going to take my song away from me, my rejoicing, my joy, my praise, my times of gathering with the saints and enjoying singing harmony in the congregation? You're going to take away those times and when I put a little slip of paper on the platform, please have Mary Kay sing such and such a song, or please have Carol sing such and such a song, and sure enough, the preacher would have them come up and sing a song. You're going to take that away from me? And you're going to say that that's not good because now we're in the kingdom. Listen to what this says here. Thank you, Jesus. I just lost it. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to sing to Him and we're to sing to each other. That's part of the kingdom. That's not just part of the church. It's the church that's going to be singing the songs. Doesn't have anything to do with just a building. Praise God if it happens in a building. Praise God. I have to tell you about one time when we were part of a church that had a choir, and we did a little bit of traveling, just a bunch of teenage girls it was, and my mom happened to be the choir director. And we went to a place where we were somewhat spiritually advanced, I guess, because we believed in letting the Spirit move and have His way. And we went to a meeting where they weren't of the same mind, and they just wanted to program it and just constrain and constrict, and they had a time schedule, and everybody had to be, I guess, in their minds, decent and in order. Well, the Lord had started to move. We had got up to sing, the ministry was more of, it was just a door opening for God to, for the Spirit to move, you know, open the hearts of the people. Music opens your spirit and your soul, and people were getting blessed and responded. There was some prophecy, but they cut it off. They didn't allow God to continue moving. So we got back on our bus, and the Spirit was really grieved within us that God had been not allowed to be free. And on the bus, because there was an atmosphere to honor the Lord and lift up Jesus, the Spirit just broke out on us in a beautiful way. You could actually... tremendous prophecy flowing. You could actually feel, you could feel the presence of the Lord, but you could actually smell the fragrance of the Lord. It was like the most beautiful flower you'd ever smell. The scent filled the bus. And so much was going on all levels. I mean, some people, it got so heavy that we finally had to pull over. The bus was literally rocking under the glory of God. We had to pull off, and we were dancing up and down the side of the road. People were getting prophecy. People were having intercession and travail flowing from one to another. My sister and her best friend were in the back of the bus, slain in the Spirit, having a conversation with each other in tongues, just speaking back and forth in tongues to each other. And just so many things that happened. But one of the things that happened on that trip, and I think it was actually before we stopped on the side of the road, is we had to stop to fill up for gas. And here, you know, we get out of the bus to use the restroom or whatever, and the attendant sees all these girls in their little black skirts and white blouses. And I guess they asked us what we were, and we told them we were choir. And they had us get out of the bus and sing, and there was literally more of the glory of God when we sang out in the gas station parking lot, on the blacktop of the gas station. The sister pulled out her accordion and opened it wide, and we just began to sing and rejoice, and the touch of God was there. Because we weren't constricted. I mean, they would have let us sit there for hours singing and rejoicing in the Lord, and they didn't constrain or constrict or bind. And so we were free to do that. Now, another place. It was the church. It was a time. I have an affection for that. I have an affection for that memory. I'm giving it to the Lord. Father, You see this affection. I'm setting this affection up to you to use it. Bring me to a place. Bring someone into my life who will be ministered to and blessed that you can reveal yourself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Set your affections on things above. Don't do away with your nostalgic memories of God's glory. Don't say, "Up, I don't like that church." My goodness. On one hand, we say, we're just going to dismiss the church. And on the other hand, we want to talk about church history. We want to talk about the revivals of the past. Well, they may not be our experience. They were somebody's experience. Those things are held up to God. I'll tell you, there's nothing that God's done that He will not use it. Everything He's done, everything God has done throughout the history of mankind, I believe it's going to explode in this last day to bring a blessing and to be an offering up to Him, to be a memorial to His grace. We need to let the Lord do it. We need to understand our place in the church as the body of Christ, being prepared to be useful in His kingdom, because what He's doing in our lives and everything we go through, the breakings, the dealings, the corrections, the chastisements, are all going to translate in being used for His glory. And everything of blessing that has happened in our lives, always through the body of Christ, it always happens. Very rarely does it happen apart from a servant of the Lord. You may not have seen that servant. It may have been someone praying for you you didn't even know about. But believe me, saints of God, everything Jesus does is through His body. It's His church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So be careful when you say that God's dismissing the church. God may be dismissing a way of doing things. God may be dismissing a style to bring forth another style. God may be dismissing an old culture to use a new culture. God may be dismissing a way of doing singing or music. But He's not dismissing the things He's done through the vehicles He's used in the past. He's going to raise it up, and how He's raising it up is by us setting our affections, setting those things, holding them up to the Lord, and saying, "God, use this affection. Make it harmonious with your kingdom, Lord, that your glory may be seen." Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Father, right now, Jesus, I just pray, Lord, as you've made this so real to me, Lord, that I'm to take my affections, not to hold on to them in a way that they'll keep me from moving into something new that you're doing, Lord. A new way you're moving, Lord. A new way you're revealing yourself, Lord. Maybe different styles of music or different ways of preaching or different ways of presenting the gospel. Lord, that these affections that I have, Lord, will never hinder me from moving forward. But rather, Lord, take these affections. Help me to take them and set them up to you, Lord. Set them up. Give them as an offering unto you, that, Lord, whenever you want to use them, you can, that they will not bind me or keep me from your purposes. Lord, that the little visions of the white church, Lord, in the mountainside is not going to keep me, Lord, from worshiping you in a stadium, if that's what you're doing now, Lord. Jesus, just help us to set our affections, Lord, on things above. I praise your name, Lord. I praise your name. And Father, if anybody is under the sound of my voice, Lord, and has not come to know you, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would lead them, Lord, to a saint of God, Lord, who could draw from their experience, Lord, where they met you, Lord God, to share, Lord, the word of the Lord, the scripture of truth, God, that brings us to salvation, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your servants. We thank you for rich impartation into our lives. In Jesus' name, all glory to Jesus. All glory to you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.